don't know if you remember, we on Sunday morning a couple weeks ago, we looked at a horse's mouth. We looked at some pictures of horses' teeth, and that got me to thinking, if we had to ride horses here, I would have had to left about 2 hours ago just to get here or more. So God has sure made some things really easy for us. We're going to start off. Let's see here. Do I have a title slide? I guess I don't. So, I know I did, and I must have not. There we go. This is tonight. We're taking a small glimpse at the wonder of God in plants, and we'll wind up with the verse in Romans chapter 1 that talks about His invisible attributes and His divine power. They're visible in the things He has made. And so this isn't a heavy theological, difficult subject, but just one, I hope, of wonder. One, I hope, where we can look at a few facts about the world God gave us and just praise God and say, how amazing is that? So we're going to look at the wonder of God in plants. So in Genesis, let me get this. Matthew gave me the right thing, but I'm going to cheat and do it this way if I can. Genesis 1, 11 through 13. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a third day. So just yesterday, returning home from the memorial, God gave me a gift. I get home and my apple tree is overladen. I'm having to pluck off a lot of worm-ridden apple because there are so many apples. There's 100 on the ground right now. They just can't all stay there. They're forcing each other out. So it's August the 27th yesterday. I look at my apple tree and there are like 13 blossoms on it in August, almost September. That amazed me. And so I got on the internet and I looked it up and said, do apple trees ever blossom more than once? And I couldn't find the answer, but I think there's like 4,000 species of apple trees. But nonetheless, no one said, yes, they do. And, you know, I graduated in the sciences and had a lot of botany as well. And it surprised me. So here's some of the blossoms. And I don't know if I have my cursor ready or not, but there are about four or five blossoms right here on the right of your picture. Just going to see if I can get this cursor working. Large pointer, laser pointer, ink color highlighter. I'll do that one. So there's several right here. Not a good color, but about four or five. Then there were more. And so here's another picture of another set right there on the bottom right. Is it not working? Well, you've got this. Oh, that's what I left there. Thank you so much, my brother. So you see some more in the blue circle. There's about five in that bunch up above it. You can't see them very well, but there's some more apple blossoms there. And about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I bought this dwarf tree, maybe 8 or 9, and it just started producing. So 4 or 5 years ago, I saw more blossom than I'd ever seen. You know what happened with the blossom, right? We have a beekeeper next door, and what happens with the blossom is the bees come, and they pollinate each blossom, and every single blossom that they pollinate turns into an apple. You probably knew that, but so I'm looking at all the blossoms, and we're going to have a bumper crop. I'm just so excited. I don't know when it is, April or something like that. I had 2 apple trees, and the rains just pounded them before the bees got there. As soon as the blossoms came out, boom! I mean, it destroyed most of the blossoms, and I said, oh, all the pollen's gone, and you know, I checked it a few weeks later, and I had a few little teeny apples that used to be blossoms who are now apples. So I said, okay, well, so much for that. But in July of that year, more blossom, not laden with blossom, but more blossom. I've never seen that. And if you have, I'd like to hear about it, because I've watched apple trees all my life and never seen any bloom in the mid to late summer. So I got home, here are these. And by the way, that these are really special because, let's see, I think this is the laser right there. Am I going the wrong way? But this yellow circle is around an apple maggot. And what's cool about that is when we make fruit smoothies, it's fruit and protein. I mean, it's awesome if you follow what I'm saying. So lots of apples this year, and even so, about 13 blossom from my approximate count. Just blows me away. And the thing is, I've been planning this sermon for, 4 to 6 weeks, talking about the wonder of trees. Then I thought I'd just move on to the wonder of plants. But what a gift. What an awesome thing. And like I said, if you are aware of this happening to lots of other trees, then I would like to know about it. So God mentioned trees 311 times in the Bible. So there's some significance to them. Here's one, Revelation 22:1. John is in heaven, or in a vision in heaven at least. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And rather than go into much depth here, I just want to say this. God made trees on the earth, and there's at least one in heaven. I mean, there's some significance to that, that at least one tree in heaven. We talked about it a few months ago. Boggles my mind there can be on both sides of the river, but you know, he goes beyond what we can think or even imagine. And so heaven's going to be some incredible place. So they're on earth and in heaven, trees are. So take 20 seconds and just come up. Don't write them down, raise your hand. But just how many benefits can you think of from trees? How many benefits? Take about 20 seconds. As I looked at this, that's probably not 20 seconds, but I think there are hundreds. My list didn't stop as I started listing all the awesome benefits of trees. So here's just a few right here. This is Nebuchadnezzar's vision. It wasn't a real tree, but it still represented what trees do. So Nebuchadnezzar, in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, he's describing a vision that he got from God. So Daniel 4:11, Nebuchadnezzar speaking. The tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Now the benefits. And its foliage was beautiful. So one is trees are beautiful. We had a cherry tree that I finally chopped down because it didn't bear any fruit, but it sure was beautiful. Boy, those blossoms were just wonderful. And Nebuchadnezzar's tree, and the fruit was abundant, and in it was food for all. So beauty, food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. You probably thought of that one. We had a huge pine tree until last year that really blocked a lot of sun from hitting our house and kept it, I'm sure, a little cooler in the summer months, but it also kept it so cold that we couldn't play in the kiddie pool or grow a garden back there. So we chopped it down, but shade is of significance. Birds of the sky dwell in its branches. We have raccoons that live in those trees, squirrels, all kinds of critters and birds that enjoy the trees. And we benefit from some of those critters as well. One of the benefits that you thought of, because we have at least two men that have been finished carpenters, you've worked with lots, tons and tons of wood, is they make building material out of it, right? So in Genesis chapter 6, God told Noah, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, shall cover it outside, inside and outside with pitch. That ark was huge, as you know, 450 feet long. If a cubit was 18 inches, what normally it was, 75 feet wide. Now, 75 feet wide isn't this wide. This is, I didn't build this building, but I'm going to guess 50 at the most. This might be close to 75 or so. So that's how wide the ark was. All made of wood, all made of wood. And we know that because most of our houses are made of wood. It's a great material. They used it thousands of years ago. We still do today. Another benefit is fuel. I'm sure you thought of that too. So here are these logs giving off great heat. So have you ever made a fire, even if you use starter fluid, have you ever made a fire out of like river rock or cedar, cement bricks, blocks, that kind of thing? It doesn't burn. How come? Why does wood burn? And where does it get this energy from? That's all the heat that it gives off, which is why many people burn wood. The heat that it gives off, it's stored in the wood. Where did it come from? I asked that question this morning, and I'll ask it again. But let's look at a couple things. So wood is used for fuel, and here is how plants and trees generally work. Oh, wrong way. They need four things minimum. A plant needs sunlight. It just can't do its job, green plants anyway. It needs carbon dioxide. That's what it breathes and processes. It needs minerals from the ground, pulls up by the roots out of the ground, and it needs water. Four main things a tree needs to thrive and be healthy. It may die if it doesn't, if it just has three of those, but it has to have those to be healthy. We won't look at the right side and the parts of a cell right there, but trees make their food through photosynthesis. Sunlight comes in. It is captured, I guess we will for just a moment, it is captured by this little thing right there, a chloroplast, which is full of chlorophyll. And here's kind of a close-up of a chloroplast. It has all these little disc-like things in there, and they somehow capture sunlight. And they use the minerals and the water, and they take this sunlight and they convert it into sugar. And if I back up just a second, right here, a tree has to breathe carbon dioxide. But when it takes it in, as a waste product for itself, it gives off oxygen. Breathes, takes in carbon dioxide, a waste product, oxygen. All that is part of the photosynthetic process right here. It makes sugars. The sugars turn into the trunk of the tree, turn into the leaves, a lot of it's cellulose. And the tree makes a lot of that, a lot of cellulose, a lot of sugar from these little chloroplasts right there. Now, this is a close-up of a leaf. You can see all the veins. Those veins are what transport, the roots suck up the nutrients and the water. They get a little bit of water through the leaves, but not a lot. Sucks up the water, sucks up the nutrients, carries them all the way to the leaves, to the veins. Leaves have veins. Humans have veins. Interesting. Now here's a close-up. These veins surround every cell in the leaf, and you can see within the cell it looks kind of granular. Those are the chloroplasts that we just looked at a minute ago, those things that soak in the sunlight and take the water and the nutrient sunlight and turn it into sugar and oxygen. So When I showed you the picture of the burning log and now of the burning wheat, this is about 1.5 tablespoons of wheat right there. I did it last night. Wasn't able to get a better picture than that. Where's that heat coming from? Where's that heat coming from? You may know, but I'll answer my own question. But the heat is coming, that is sunlight. The plants pulled in sunlight, stored it as energy in the form of sugars and cellulose and wood. And then when we light something that's made out of cellulose or plant material, when we light it, we're releasing all the energy, not all of it, but we're releasing a lot of the energy that plant pulled in from the sun. That blows me away. So this is just about 1.5 tablespoons. Like I said, you should see what 1/2 cup to 1 cup of wheat does. I just couldn't get it to work last night, but it's impressive. So this is dried wheat ready for harvesting, and the plant's already sucked in all the sunlight it can. But even if we go back to the wood right here, we had in our yard, this old Douglas fir tree, 120 feet high. I know that Mike put some real backbone and labor into helping us move it, as did Dan and Morgan and Robert Quinn. And all that wood has stored energy from the sun. A lot of the wood is over 100 years old. So when Robert and Dan burn the wood, if they burn wood closer to the base of the tree, the heat and light they're releasing is over 100 years old. It was captured by the plant over 100 years ago, before any of us were even born. Stored. We're able to light it and release it, and it's over 100 years old. That just thrills me to know that. I look at that and imagine, well, don't imagine, but you know, those that are into evolution, they say this is all by accident, and somehow this inanimate earth that had no living thing on it at all was able to transform itself through electricity and methane molecules, and boom, eventually got a living molecule or a one-celled animal that certainly must have died because it probably didn't have a mouth yet. But you saw the process. It's very simplified, but this is the process of photosynthesis. All these things have to happen at the same time. When you get a plant, it has to be able to have the ability to pull in nutrients somehow. How does it pull those in? And then, okay, well, let's say it lucked out and had an amazing what do they call it? Mutation, an amazing mutation that can pull in water. Well, how did it use the water? Did all the mutations happen at once? 1,000, 10,000 mutations happen, so we're actually able to process it and release oxygen. And by the way, let's move on just a little bit. These right here, right? I'm going to ask you, well, I'll make this point first. Plants to survive, sunlight, carbon dioxide, water, and nutrients. They take those in and they give this off, oxygen and water. What about animals? Animals, we need what the plant gives off. We need oxygen to breathe and nutrients and water. We give off some of those things, but we release carbon dioxide, the exact thing the plants need, and they give off what we need. And you can actually build a closed system. It takes a little bit of work without allowing any oxygen from the outside. If you balance it right, the plants in your closed system will give off enough oxygen to keep the turtles alive or the frogs alive or whatever. But just what a magnificent creation God gave us, where the balance of nature works perfectly. Now, my profs, by the time the 80s came around, they told me there is no balance of nature. No balance. Just what you have, but it's not balanced. And that's as bad as the people who believe in relative truth, who don't stop at red lights. Well, they do stop at red lights because they know that red lights save your lives. And these people that say these crazy things like there's no balance, they have to say that to support the rest of the position on evolution, but there's great balance in nature. God made it so that the trees give us the clean air we need for respiration. And we give off carbon dioxide, which they need for transpiration. And so what a marvelous system that God... But the question is this. How do the plants release the oxygen? Does it ooze out of their pores? Well, they don't really have pores. How do they... And if they can't get rid of the water and they just keep sucking it up, eventually things are going to explode. The leaves are going to burst because they have too much water. How does the plant get rid of the water and the oxygen that it doesn't want anymore? And so through the stoma, they open and close. Now, this is a really close-up of a leaf, and all those little openings right there, those are called stoma. And here's a close-up of one different plant, but what does it look like to you? It should look like a mouth, right? It should look like a mouth, and so that's the stoma, and guess what the Greek word for mouth is? Stoma. Yeah, it says, Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. When he opened his mouth, it says Philip opened his stoma. So they took the Greek word for mouth, because that's what these openings look like. But the plant, though it doesn't have a brain, is able to open the stoma at the right time to release excess water, able to open the mouth, the little stoma, at the right time to release oxygen, which we need so much, and at the right time, they're able to close them with no brain. They didn't have these, the plants would die. So what came first, the stoma or the ability to pull in the water and the nutrients? It's a rhetorical question, obviously. But these are stoma right here that the plant has to have. In our ecology class in 1988, they told me something. I'm assuming they're right, that even pine needles on your fir trees have stoma, little mouths. And you know what season? Don't say it out loud, but guess what season they told us pine trees have the most growth? Not summer. In fact, it's not spring. They said that it's winter. Winter. They said that if the stoma were open in the summer, the pine trees would dehydrate. They would lose too much water. So they said there's more growth in the cold weather because their stoma are open. They can release the water, release the oxygen. They can do everything that facilitates growth. And pine trees, according to my profs, grow more in the winter than the summer, all dependent upon the proper functioning of these little mouths we call stoma. Yep, I'm going backwards. So one more time at our diagram right here. We've got the sunlight, carbon dioxide, the nutrients, and the water going in. Oxygen and sugar are the products of photosynthesis. Some of them go out. But another benefit of trees is they enrich the topsoil. They pull from the ground where the roots are. They pull from several feet below. They pull up the nutrients that they need, minerals and things they need from the soil. They need that as building blocks for the leaves and the wood and so forth. And they pull that up from the soil, turn it into leaves and more trunk. The average mature oak tree has 250,000 leaves, 250,000 leaves. And so they have all these nutrients pulled up from deeper in the soil. When the fall comes, all the leaves fall off and they enrich the top of the ground for the use of other plants and the use of animals that make the ground so things grow in it better. Again, but there's no balance in nature according to my profs, but you can see it in every step of the process. It's a praise God type of process. It's so marvelous. So they have that many leaves. I talked about the building blocks several feet deep. They store sugars and minerals in the leaves, and all the leaves fall to the ground and enrich the soil. Just an amazing, amazing process that God has given us. He created the balance in nature that keeps us alive. You know, all green plants make oxygen. They're green because they have the chlorophyll that's stored in the chloroplasts. And so all the plants around us in the green belts and your lawns are giving off oxygen and water. And so I found a great way to get out of mowing the lawn. I tell honey, Lisa, no, if I mow the lawn, we're going to make less oxygen around our house. We need to let it get really long. And so it hasn't worked, but I try it. So here we are, the process that God gave us. The plants make the earth habitable for human beings. As you know, we're all dependent upon food from plants of some source, even if it's the herbivores that eat it, and then we eat the herbivores. We need plants to survive and to make oxygen. We, in turn, give off the carbon dioxide that they need. So I want to close with this, Romans 1, beginning in verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, to science profs and colleges, as well as the average person. It is evident, for he made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood through what has been made. Praise our God for his glorious world that we get to live in for a short while and then even go to a better place. That's our lesson for tonight. If you would like to respond to the song of invitation, just come forward and let us know how we can help as we sing number 312.